blackmail you, whatever we have to do. We'll put that right there, and then wherever it's comfortable to put that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Really delighted and fearful to be back with you. And Pastor mentioned already, I think maybe 6 months ago, a long time ago, he insisted that I come back and do a series. And I couldn't think of a reason to, I wish I had a reason, because it's out of my comfort zone. I'm like most missionaries, I have maybe 20 or 25 messages, and maybe 5 are pretty good, you know. Well practiced, I've got all the timing, I got the jokes and so on, but that doesn't work when you do a series. You have to like pray and ask God to give you something new and fresh, and that's a lot of work. And frankly, he's the most interesting man. Really, I learned a lot just in Sunday school. I'm like, wow. I learned more in half hour than I have years, you know, other places. But, you know, I hate them, but I love them, you know. He's an interesting man, so we're going to have a lot of fun. Amen? You can, you really can't interrupt me. You can do what you need to do. You can go out. I'm going to try to be respectful of your time. But if you need to go, you just go ahead and go, all right? You know, I want you to be built. We want to educate and we want to edify. And it was my prayer for these months, and oh God, give me something. And God did give me something, and God helped me to be to deliver the mail that he would have you to get. Amen? You can say amen, it's all right. You know, amen. As you get closer to getting hungry, you can say amen more. And you get it? It means I understand. You get it. We move to the next point. If you don't say anything, you're just sitting there hungry, I think you don't get it. And I'll keep on that same point, and you'll just get hungry. So let's all practice. Amen.
Amen.
Very good. You're getting the idea. So praise the Lord. We're going to be in, we're going to start in 2 Chronicles. I'm saying all that. I don't take it lightly. I really fear and tremble doing this. But God help me. And you know, if I was a singer and I'm not, if I was a musician and I'm not, oh, I'd get a guitar and I'd strum and I'd plucker and I'd sing my heart out for just to express my love for Jesus Christ. But I can't do that. I can do it once, but you'll never come back. The one thing I can do is, you know, we can open the Word of God together, and we can see what God would use. We're all the same, I think. We're all, you know, redeemed children of God. And we know the love of God and the mercy of God. And if you would pray for me, I've got an assignment for you for this coming week, and we'll get into that in a minute. But again, I'm gonna be quick. I've got about 30 minutes to get about an hour and a half message in, and I'm going to do it. I go. One fella, he comes to the church and he's sitting to the message, and after a while, he gets up and he starts heading for the door, and the pastor says, "Hey, where are you going?" The fella says, "I'm going to go get a haircut." The pastor said, "Hey, why didn't you take care of that before you came to the service?" The fellow said, "Before the service, I didn't need a haircut." We won't keep you that long, man. We're going to have a good time. We're looking at the history. Historically, Israel as a nation is in a good spot. This is a... I would suggest this. It's difficult, but we do it. My wife and I read a chapter together every day. Say, only one chapter. That's all. You read 3 chapters or a book, good for you. It's all we can do to get one chapter in. But it's good. And when we were reading through this section a few months ago, this section just jumped out at me. And it just had Black Creek Baptist Church written all over it. And I just thanked the Lord, because I was asking him to give me what And it just, you know, you pastors and preachers, you know, sometimes it just falls in front of you. It's just, oh, it's all right there. And that's the case here. This is a primer on worship. And I just see God in this. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, we're going to read a little bit, and I'll pray, and we'll move on. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, let's pick it up in verse 13. It's kind of our launch pad verse here. And it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. Oh, we're going to work on our music. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be as one. To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for a sunny morning, and thank you for those who have been able to come out this morning. Lord, if there's a soul here that's not saved, that really doesn't understand what it means to be a Christian, God, I pray that today you would just draw them in and give them understanding, and God, they would be truly born again believers. Lord, for the church, I just pray there'd be a time of edification and strengthening. Lord, we want to lay a bedrock. We want to begin a series, and I pray it would be clear. There's many needs here, many hurts and distractions. God, I pray that for the next few minutes, you just take those away, and you'd be pleased with all that's said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, we want to educate, we want to edify. But our absolute purpose, I don't know if they still do that. When I was a junior in high school, the times I was at the school, they sent us to this guidance counselor. They still have those?
Yeah.
It's a career counseling. You know, you're like 15 and all you know is V8 engines and girls, you know. But they sit you down in a padded chair and say, "Now, young man, what are you going to do when you grow up?" "I don't know. I, you know, gee, I stay out of jail, I hope. You know, I don't know. Well, you got to decide now, because then we got to find your career path." And they, you know, "Well, you work with your hands. You work. Maybe you'll be a welder, or you'll be some sort of like a technical person, you know, hands-on plumbing or something. Or maybe if you clean up a little bit, we'll put you in the service industry. You know, you'll serve. You won't be manufacturing, but you'll be, you know, you work in a lawyer's office or something, or some accountant or something." And no one of the options they never gave me. And that's sad. You know, because this is the option I want. When I grow up, I want to worship God. I want to please my God. Because I'm created specifically for that reason.
Amen.
And so are you.
Amen.
Why am I here? What's my life all about? Your life is all about to worship God, your creator. Then you're happy. Then you're fulfilled. It doesn't matter about your money path or something like that. Money really isn't important when you're doing what you want to do. And I got to tell you, you say, "Well, I don't know what I want to do." You know what you want to do? You might not know it, but you want to do what you are created to do.
Amen.
We are created to please our God. The one who created every cell, gives you every breath, every feeling and being. He grants you license to live again today. Amen. And for most of us, he grants us license to live forever with him.
Amen.
How cool is that? I want to worship my God. And you know what? For the next week or something, what we just read here in this opening of the transition, the opening of the temple in Solomon, this is the high tide for Israel as a nation. I want to see the same thing for Black Creek Baptist Church.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't think it can happen. I think it can happen.
Yes, sir.
I think it can happen. Since I was here last time, there's more people here. There's a good spirit here, good singing. And, you know, everyone's attentive and it's good. Why not? Why don't we keep going up and higher, and so that the glory of the Lord would fill this house. And the town, the people keep going by and walking by, and the neighbors, and think, well, something good is happening in that place. Not only in that place, but something's happening to my relative and my friend and my coworker. They ain't the same like they used to be no more. Something's going on with them. They don't do the same things. They got a spring in their step. They got a gleam in their eye. They're actually happy. What are they doing? And then they'll understand. And they can praise God. It is the work of the Lord. Let's go back. So this is really, I'm painting the picture of where we're going this week. We have to start back and lay the foundation back to 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. You'll forgive me if sometimes I break into Vietnamese. I just got in about 8 days ago. So I just shook off the jet lag. Yesterday I was up all day. I didn't have to take a nap midday. But we did crash around 7 at night. And we're still like transitioning in Asian time and so on. This afternoon or after the dinner, if you would stick around, I would love to present. I have a certain agenda regarding missions. It's kind of like developed over years of trial and error, mostly error. And I'd love to share it with you. It doesn't mean you'll agree with it, but I'd love to. It's like my day in court. Why do I do the things I do? I'd love to have you be part of that if you can. 1 Chronicles 28. And David, now King David, he's old and he's about to pass the baton on to his son. And this is really an interesting and wonderful time in the history of this nation, Israel. David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the kings by course, and the captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, with all the valiant men under Jerusalem. David calls a meeting. No, I made a mistake. By the way, this isn't a meeting. This is an assembly. It says here that David assembled all these people together. You know the difference between a meeting? I'm going to the meeting at the church. I would rather you come to the assembly. Because you're a part. Amen? God's given you a part of this ministry. It's like, you parents, you know, Christmas Eve, you buy that junk from Walmart and it's Chinese and it's not, the directions aren't very good. But you got to assemble that junk. And you got a few hours to get that thing set up and under the tree, right? I'm not spoiling any secrets, am I, right? And you know, and you what you have there, you don't have a meeting of metal and junk and plastic. You have an assembly. And your job is to assemble all the parts. And you're hoping, oh, it's Christmas Eve. I should have done this a few days ago. I hope all the pieces are there. I hope all the pieces are here.
That's right.
I hope the singers are singing. I hope the ushers are ushering. And I hope the Sunday school teachers are sane. And, you know, I hope it's good. I hope it's good. All the parts. We all play a part. And for David, he assembles this group for two purposes. First is to work. And second is to worship. He's got some business to take care of. He's got some work to do. But then when that work is done, it leads to this time of worship that we read about earlier. If he doesn't do the work, it's going to be confusion and you're not going to get to worship.
Amen.
So this week, let me put out my plea right now. I've come 3 hours and I'm I really sweated over these messages. Would you at least come 15 minutes or half hour? Because we're going to assemble. We're not going to have meetings. Amen?
Amen.
And I want you to be here, be part of it. I want God to speak to you. I want you to leave. Whatever it is you're doing. And you know these people, these important people that David's calling, do you think they were not busy? Think there's nothing going on? I'm the officer. I'm over thousands of people. Do you think he doesn't have a full schedule? No, whatever it is, let's drop that for now. What that can go aside for now, let's assemble together and see what God is going to do, right? Is there, think somebody in here, all these people, they don't have any problems at all, right? All their kids are perfect. They're all going to What's About You, and they all 4.0, and, you know, they're all just about to be married to Mr. and Mrs. Right, you know, Mrs. Always Right, you know, Mr. Never Right, you know, and you know, we don't have any problems. So, okay, Bowling for Dollars is not either. So, let's see, there's not the draft, or there's not football or basketball. Okay, we'll go there. Or, you know, Disneyland's not running specials and Jet Air and all kind of stuff. I got to tell you, we're going to get together, and it's not going to be for entertainment's sake.
Right.
But I got to tell you, when you're in a place and God fills the place,
yes,
there's no more interesting experience in your whole life. You're not going to top that with a mouse or with a game, a video game, or a ball, or an engine, or any of those things. Just because it gets to our core being, we worship God because we're made to do that.
Amen.
And it's good for us. I'm sure they had other things. I'm sure you have other things. But would you please come out this week? Amen. God has granted us beautiful weather. Can't use that as an excuse. I don't think we're having blizzards this week. Verse 2. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren, my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." I tell you something else is the first point as we build our foundation is we need to assemble. We need the components to come together. But we also have to try. If you're alliterated, it's a sade. David tried. He attempted to make a house for God. It was in his heart to do that. And God said no. But God gave David the grace to recognize, because God said no doesn't mean I reject you as a person. Your son is going to do it. And your son is going to do better than you can do. It's difficult, isn't it? But let the son be glorified. We can gather the stuff. David gathered the stuff. He made everything ready. He had the materials ready. But the son was honored. When the temple was built, David was dead. Solomon, the son, was there.
Amen.
The son was honored. And look at, it's really what we want to do. Many things we wish for. Amen. You know, I was pastor for a short time, and I'm missionary for a long time. You know, one thing that surprised me, I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's the same here, Pastor Hain in Pennsylvania there. I thought being pastor, it would be like my church. But I found out I rarely got the things I wanted, you know? I was always compromising. Well, all right. You know, it's like pulling teeth to get something, you know? And I figured, I'd get about 90% of it through, and I got about 10% of it through. But you know, you can pout and cry and stomp around, hold your breath and count to 10 or whatever. Or you can just say, well, I can go on. Amen?
Amen.
I can go on. Samuel, God was told him, protest solemnly. Tell them. You know, but don't quit. You know, after they chose Saul and it wasn't Samuel's choice, God said, let him run. You know, Samuel was more important to that nation after that time. He anointed 2 kings after that. He was a counselor. He was a bigger counselor to that nation after his rejection than before.
That's right.
Well, when I was 24 years old, I said to myself, well, I'm 24. I've been a Christian now for 3-4 years. I ought to go fetch myself a wife. Right? You know, God disappointed me in that effort. And I'm glad.
Yeah,
I'm glad now. What a boondoggle, dating. I'm a farmer with a clean suit. And I'm at this big church in Rochester, and these girls are all, they were brought up in the Christian culture, you know what I mean? They know all the, how to walk and talk, and I'm just like, well, geez, I don't know, you know, I think I'm an okay guy, but I don't know. And one date, I took a girl to the restaurant, and we pulled in, and I was talking all the way to the restaurant door, and she's gone. I heard about the rapture. But I thought, well, I didn't know it was like in parts, you know. Maybe the hungrier people went up first or something. And I look over. Somebody in my car. I just installed one of the newfangled AM/FM cassette radios. It gives you the time, you know. We were converting from 8-track to cassette, you know. I wonder if they're trying to steal that newfangled cassette player. Oh, they're just sitting there. You know, that's that girl. So I walk around to the car, and I just look in the back window. She's just sitting there. So I look in the window at her. She sees me. What in the world? She got glued to the seat or something? What in the world? So I open the door and say, you know, are you stuck? I open the door, she goes, oh, thank you. And she gets out, walks to the restaurant. Well, you know, you're supposed to open the door for the girl. I didn't know. Gee, I grew up, we didn't have doors on our cars, you know. It just jumped out. And Oldsmobile, we'd have to roll it on its top because it was hot-wired. Everybody knew we could hot-wire it. So they wouldn't steal it. We'd roll that station wagon. It was a Vista Cruiser. We'd roll it up on its top, and we'd roll it back over and take off, and we'd go. You know, I didn't really get Christian dating was really a painful experience for me. It wasn't until later God just said, you know, you're really stupid. Just let it go. And it was in that time I just said, God, you know, this just isn't working. My will is not being done here. Maybe your will could be done.
Amen.
And I surrendered to the Lord and just said, you know what? Within about a month, I went to my roommate's Bible study. He was always bothering me to go to Bible study, but I had my own group in the Indian reservation and so on, and the Indians were canceled that week or something, so all right, I'll go and get sour off my back, you know, and there I walked in, and there she was. She's still cute. A lot cuter than I am, amen? And she had she was just sitting on the floor, and her hair was like unique, like ponytail off the side of her head, like side saddle, like, you know, like going out. I thought, well, there's something wrong with her. Nobody's picked her up by now, you know. There's all these young men, you know. We're at Bible school. There's something. She's probably a kleptomaniac or something, you know. There's some going on, you know. Spits or something. I don't know, you know. But I didn't, you know what. The only thing wrong with her was I hadn't come around to get her yet. And God just God brought us together. That was 26 years ago.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm just saying, you know, sometimes we have in our heart to do something, and we're not going to get it done. But it doesn't mean that we get frustrated and we quit. God's teaching us. God was teaching me through those painful dating lessons about girls and women and Christians and relationships and things like that. It was a difficult lesson. Sometimes pain is a very efficient teacher. But can we learn our lesson? We don't have to keep repeating the lesson, right? Let's say, okay, that hurts. I'm not going to do that again. Lord, maybe why don't you take over? Why don't I give it to you and let you do it? And David said that. Disappointments often lead to better things. And Black Creek Baptist Church, I don't really, you know, I don't call Pastor Askew to, what's the gossip? Who's doing what? I wouldn't do that. He wouldn't even tell me. It's a church. There's people here, right? Where there's people, there's problems, and there's blessings. It's everything. It's good. It's a buzz of life, and that's also good. But hasn't been any problems in the church? Right? Are you kidding me? What planet, you know, what drug do I take that I would think that? Don't let those disappointments like pull you down. You think back, I remember the old days when we had, what did we have today, 50? We used to have 51 in the old days, right? Oh, so-and-so, they up and died. They up and moved away, or, you know, they're throwing rocks at us now or something. But hey, let it go. Maybe God is preparing you. Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? It's painful. But learn the lesson and go on. David, in his wisdom, says, I wanted to do that. I wanted to build a house. But God said, no. But here's what I did. As I prepared the next generation, I gathered all the gold and the silver. I had all the materials. I knew someday the son would be honored. So I gave that stuff to the son, and you know what? The son did a pretty good job. God's given you the ability to do some things, and he gives you some talent, some skill. Give it to the son. Amen?
Amen.
Let the son be honored.
Amen.
Good. I can tell you're getting hungry. I'm getting some good amens here. And then verse 4, back in our text, verse 4, verse 4, and we're going to go to verse 8. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, or the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. He's not crowing. He's just stating this is the fact. This is the historical fact. Here's where we are and where we're building from. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons. By the way, I am Toila Ongwai. In Vietnamese, I am the grandfather. Last time I was here, I was not. Now I am a grandfather. She's a daughter, granddaughter. So it's kind of running in our, stays in our line. Everything about us is daughters and girls. The dog, the only masculine thing around my house is the mail post, you know, the mailman. And even the mailman, now the feminist, you can't say, call him the mailman. You got to call him the person, you know. But anyway, praise the Lord, you know. David says, yeah, I got many sons. He had chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts. For I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish, you know it says establish, not stablish. If you've got a non-King James Bible, wherever it says stablish, they've changed it to establish. They're different words. Well, it's easier to read. Yeah, but it's harder to understand.
Yeah.
Amen. Established means from the ground up, beginning. This company was established in 1906, whatever, right? That was the beginning. To establish something is to take an existing thing and to make it better, stronger, to strengthen it. But he says, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he Be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, in the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for you an inheritance for your children after you forever. The ascension is my son. This clear continuity. There's no doubt about God's plan and God's purpose. I want your son to reign. God wants his son to reign. The land is his. All that we have is his. But I want you to have an inheritance for yours too. I want you to be able to give something to your kin, people after you. I was talking to my father yesterday, and he's making plans for his will. He's almost 80. And he says, I don't really want a headstone. I don't want you to spend any money. He says, my great-granddaughter, you and my children, you are my heritage, right? That's how I want to be remembered. So good, it's cheaper. Let the Son be established, let his kingdom be gone, be good. I want to leave an inheritance for my children. And this is the inheritance I want to leave. I want to leave a good name. I want a good example. If there's some money involved, that's okay too. But money comes and goes, amen? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. I want to walk in a good way, my integrity. I want my children to look at their father and say, he was a good man. I mean, as far as men go, men are men, right? He was okay. He did us well. Praise God. Let me just finish with this. I'm going to skip the last point, but can I just have like a heart-to-heart? This is just like life stuff. Men want respect. Right? Like the wife is told to reverence her husband. Give him respect. Revere him. Hold him up. The woman, maybe not so much. She wants to be loved. The man is told again and again, love her, love her, love her. I think it's difficult for both. Right? You go to a park or a monument, and there's a general on a horse, you know, and if his three legs are on the ground, one's up, it means he died a certain way. If it's two, he died in battle. If all four, he died a natural death. Something like that, right? But you never see really, like, women statues in the park on the horse. They don't really care. You know what they care? What do you think about me? Do you love me? Yeah. Right? I don't want some pigeon parking on my nose, you know? But the man, you know, he was... Yeah, those are sanctified pigeons. Those are good. You know, that's good. Men want to be honored. Women want to be loved, and they want the security. But I got to tell you that you can't, ladies, you can't respect, you can't revere your husband the way he needs. Doesn't mean you can't try. And men, you need to try to love your wives, but you can't do it. You can't do it apart from God working in you.
Amen.
Amen. You can't like conjure these things up in your flesh. I'm going to try really hard today. Why don't you take the resources you have and dedicate them to the Son?
Amen.
Let the Son do what he can do with it and build you. You know what the Son would do? He's a builder. He edifies. You know what we want to do with the body of Christ? We want to build you. We want you to be stronger. And then God is honored and God is glorified. Let the Son get the glory. Great things are about to happen in Israel. This is like the beginning of some really cool stuff happening. Are great things about to happen in Black Creek?
Amen.
Amen. I think so. Amen. Let's do it. Will you assemble with me? Hey, I came 12,000 miles and I sweated this one. Can you come 20 or 10 or 5 or walk across the street? Can you do that? Amen. Would you, you know, it's not a meeting, it's an assembly. I want to have singing. I want to have a good time. And I tell you what, it comes 7 o'clock on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, so on. We're not constrained by the time. We want to sing a couple extra songs. Amen?
Amen.
Do it. If the praise goes louder and better, keep it on. Amen? I'll just keep whittling down the points. Amen? Yeah. Or add them, whatever. Let God have his way.
Amen.
Let's. I know, Michelle, I'm busy. I'm working. I don't have school. I've got a. Can you set those things aside? I promise you, it'll be more profitable for you to come and be part of this assembly than to do whatever else you are going to do. You're going to say it's good that I was in the house of God. Let us be a holy assembly tonight, today, maybe even now. You got something you got to put away? Put it away. Maybe it's something you got to pick up. Pick it up. Amen? Let's not just be an assembly. Let's be a holy assembly. So God is pleased to meet with us and share his glory with us. He's not going to fill a dirty vessel. You get yourself clean. Do what you got to do. Will you sing? Will you worship? I hope so. Amen?
Amen.
I've got 30 seconds left. I'm taking a mental picture of everyone here. If I don't see you tomorrow night, I'm coming to your house. No, just
kidding. Do you want our numbers?
Just send in your tithe envelope, you're good. No. Just kidding. Oh, no, it's recorded too. We're going to have a good time, amen?
Amen.
Let's come, let's have a holy assembly. You're needed here. I need you here. Let's see what God will do with us together. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the sunshine and the blessings you've given to us. God, in the worst way, worship you corporately. I want to just see changes. God, I want to hear praise to our God ring out. I want to see the problems that beset our friends, the besetting sins be put away. I want to see victory. God, in all, not just for the edification of the saints, but for the glorification of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you. We thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you're going to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, you come on up for our last song. Anybody doubt why the Spirit of God would have him in here? Tremendous point on that thing with assembly. I've been reading the King James Bible 35 years. I never noticed that. Folks, you remember these jars here. Stuff them as much as you can. A little more if you can. And Pastor, go ahead and close us in song if you would. And then close the service.
We're going to change the closing song from what's in